And welcome to today's episode of Once Impossible, where we get to speak to some of the most exciting entrepreneurs in the country. Today, we have with us Shweta Kulkarni, founder and director of Astronera, the world's first e-learning platform dedicated to astronomy. After founding Astronera in 2011 at the very young age of 16, Shweta also went on to become the youngest woman from India to be awarded the Fellowship of the Royal Astronomical Society of England. She's pursuing her education in astronomy through the University of Central Lancashire and has also completed a certificate course in 100 hours astronomy from the MP Birla Institute of Fundamental Research and was part of the Women Startup Program 2018 with IIMB's NSR Cell. Shweta has received support and guidance from prominent figures in the country, even the Honorable Srimati Pratibha Patil. She has also received a grant from the Government of India's Department of Science and Technology for the project Astronomy for Beginners to produce astronomical videos. What's more, she's got a passion for creative art forms, literature, music, film, acting, and photography, where her list of credits and accolades could warrant a whole other episode of this podcast. Welcome again, Shweta. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be part of Saksham. I must appreciate this initiative so much.
We're so happy to hear that. So let's get started. You've mentioned that you're passionate about following the aim rather than the routine competition. So can you tell us a little bit more about your journey of becoming an entrepreneur, or rather an astropreneur?
Yes, right. So actually, since the childhood, my parents always focused on having different experiences in life. You know, they always believed that rather than just studying from the school books, you should have different experiences, which kind of teach you more. And that got incubated in me. And becoming an entrepreneur kind of, you know, came as a surprise. I did not even know that I was being an entrepreneur. So when I got my telescope, my first telescope at the age of 16, I was just doing astronomical events as a hobby. Little did I know that same thing is going to turn into entrepreneurship. So when I got incubated into the Women Startup Program, I realized that, you know, what I was doing was entrepreneurship. And I have always been an astronomer since at the young age. I was interested into astronomy. So I started attending stargazing programs. I started organizing my own as well. I am studying astronomy as well. So I could call myself astronomer. And then I realized that if I combine both of these, I become an astro entrepreneur. So astropreneur, basically.
That's amazing. And I love what you said about how your hobby really transformed into being your career. And I think that's an interesting thing that we see with a lot of entrepreneurs, right? Because it stems from passion. And so along those lines, you also mentioned that you started so early at 16. You were already an astronomer. You were already an entrepreneur without even realizing it. So what do you think are some of the crucial ingredients for being a successful entrepreneur?
I'd say that it's VIP, you know, not a normal VIP, but I think to become an entrepreneur, you should be visionary, innovative, and passionate. So if you have these three things, if you are VIP, then that is the formula of, I think, being a successful entrepreneur. Also, networking comes into picture. When I was incubated in the Women Startup Program, there were 100 other ladies who were also into science and technology working on their own ventures. We got to collaborate a lot with each other. For example, a startup from Himachal Pradesh, Tapsu Foods, me and the founder of Tapsu Foods, Amshu CR, we connected very well and we collaborated on agriculture and astronomy together. So, you know, such innovations also come through this entrepreneurship programs. And I guess networking is also one of the very important things.
And I think it's also so interesting. You talked about a collaboration between astronomy and agriculture, which is so fascinating. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So actually, Amshu and I both were just taking a bus journey. We both kind of discussed that, you know, we love this quote that keep your feet on the ground and reach for the stars. And we just suddenly thought that, you know, it kind of describes both of our startups, you know, keep your feet on the ground relating to agriculture and reach for the stars relating to astronomy. So we started discussing if there is anything that we can collaborate on, because we both gelled up together very well. Our working style is very similar. Our journeys are very similar of entrepreneurship. So we wanted to collaborate as a person. So we decided that we need to figure out how to collaborate between agriculture and astronomy. And we started researching on that. And we came across the concept of biodynamics, where we realized that there are farmers who kind of still, you know, look look in the constellations in the sky and they do the farming accordingly. There are calendars, some astronomical calendars that they follow to do agriculture. And of course, it makes sense because, I mean, in the Stone Age or when the man first started farming, the man looked up at the sky and that's how they realized which seasons were going to come, when to sow, when to do their agricultural decision making. They did depending on astronomy. And still these practices are followed. For example, I work with the tribal children here in India, and whenever I used to go visit them and I used to tell them the astronomical stories, show them the constellations, a few students used to come up to me and they would say that, you know, we also have some stories about this which we follow, like, you know, when this star comes up we go in the farm and then we have these rituals or we do this, and this is the activity of the farming that we do. So Amsha and I decided that we will do some research on it. Since she is into the agriculture business, she is trying to make use of this, and we are going to research more about this. So this is how we collaborated.
That is an amazing story, and I absolutely love that the children in the tribal regions, like the rural areas of India, are able to tell you stories that they have just by virtue of how they've grown up. And it's just so interesting how that inspiration comes from everywhere. So thank you for sharing that experience with us. That's fascinating. But I'd like to take it back to Astroneera and like what y'all are really trying to achieve. So you've talked about how Astroneera aims to make the knowledge of astronomy easily accessible to everyone anywhere in the world. So can you share with us a little bit more on what you really wish to accomplish through Astroneera?
Yeah, sure. So basically, when I started doing the stargazing programs, I realized that I was living in Pune. I used to organize programs around the city. And I realized that I was very geographically restricted and I didn't want to be that restricted. So fortunately, I have got amazing mentors like Dr. Jayant Narekar, Dr. Raghunath Mashelkar, Dr. Govind Swarup. And I was fortunate enough to discuss these things with them. And I realized that, you know, I had interest into handling the cameras, making videos as well. So while I was discussing this idea with Dr. Raghunath Mashelkar that maybe I should do astronomical videos, he said that why not take help from the Department of Science and Technology, Central Government. So we kind of pitched this idea to them, telling them that, you know, we will make up some astronomical videos, we'll put them up, and these videos will be kind of Indianized version of astronomy. So I'll explain about the Indian astronomical stuff. For example, I'll talk about Lonar meteorite impact crater instead of Arizona, and I will tell more about the shlokas that we have, the verses that we have which explain about astronomy. For example, Aryabhatta had written a verse in his book Golapada which kind of explains how the earth goes around itself, and this was before all the European scientists explored this concept as well. So I kind of, you know, explain these concepts in my videos, and DST kind of agreed to that. They gave us a grant, and we made the videos. So shortly after we made these videos, I went to UK for an astronomical camp there. And there I realized that lots of students who were attending the camp, they had already seen the videos and they had loved them. And they said, why don't you make bigger courses of these so that, you know, we can get certificate, we can get more information about that. And so we decided to make courses. That is when I realized that, you know, I want to develop a platform which is kind of one-stop shop for astronomy, you know, which does not differentiate between anybody. It could be a tribal person studying astronomy, it could be a person from city, it could be an elder person, it could be a younger person, anybody who wants to know anything about astronomy, it should be available to them. So I wanted to develop online and on-campus facility to popularize astronomy, and that was the vision that I started with. So on-campus facility is yet to be developed. We are, you know, currently looking into that matter. We are talking with the government. I just did a big trip to Himachal Pradesh to kind of think about where we can develop kind of a dark sky reserve where people can go and observe the stars in a better manner, because in the cities we have light pollution. We don't have good skies to, you know, look at. We don't see a lot of stars. So that is the kind of vision that I have. I want to have a one-stop shop for astronomers. And also another thing I would like to add to my online facility is to have a networking platform. Because I think we have a little drawback over here, which I experienced when I was a younger student, that, you know, the scientists are somebody that the students don't go and approach to them and talk to them, ask them questions. They're kind of scared. Or these scientists are kind of not accessible. When you think of the word scientist, you imagine the people with white coats sitting in a lab, working with pipettes and, you know, or in an observatory looking through telescope. But that is not the case. Like, you can reach out to these scientists and they're more than happy to help you. Now I am in the position where I know a bunch of scientists around the globe who are working in the field of astronomy and who are very excited to popularize and share about whatever knowledge they have about astronomy. It's just that people are not getting an opportunity to reach out to them. So this with this platform, I want to, you know, kind of fill this gap as well, that people should be able to interact with these scientists or mentors, you know, directly and get the answers of their questions easily.
It's fascinating to me, and I think to anybody listening, how many things you are able to articulate as well as accomplish with just starting out with making instructional and educational videos. But that actually leads me to another question that I had, which was, what is your opinion on how astronomy is being viewed today? As, like, we talk about the millennial generation, the Gen Z generation, like, how do you find interest in astronomy? Do you think it's waning? Do you think it's growing? What is your take on that?
Well, it's since past couple of years, they have been very exciting for astronomical developments. You know, we are spending rovers to Mars. Just right now, Perseverance rover landed on Mars, which was very, very exciting for everybody around the globe. Even India sent a Mars orbiter mission, and which was, you know, appreciated around the globe. So that is really great. But I think I see still a big gap between, you know, normal people and the scientists or people who are working in astronomy. I think there is just not enough awareness. Whoever I meet, they tell them that, you know, when they were young, they were interested into astronomy, but they just didn't know how to pursue it. They didn't know whom to ask questions. They didn't know what career options are there in astronomy, how to study astronomy. And we are trying to kind of fill this gap. And it's not just us. There are a lot of people who are working in this field. There are a lot of opportunities out there which people need to kind of go out and explore for themselves. There is a lot of stuff. But yeah, the huge gap still exists. I mean, we send a Mars orbiter mission to Mars, but there are still people who look for Mars in their Patrika and they believe in astrology. So that is kind of, you know, a sad thing that at least we see in India. But I think with a little bit of awareness, this should, this should get better with time. We are trying to kind of develop an astronomical culture here in India. And that is, you know, something that I see happening within next 10 years for sure.
So that brings me to another question, because I think it's evident to anybody listening to you how passionate you are about astronomy, right? And of course, I mean, everything that you've done in your career has proved that. So I'm curious as to why you're so passionate about astronomy, and why do you think astronomy as a field of study should be something that everybody kind of gets exposed to?
Mm-hmm. So I think I have been interested in astronomy since as long as I can remember. It was a story that my father told me when I was really, really young kid. I think I was like 3 years old, where there was a fairy and she was going on different planets and comets. And these planets, comets, stars were kind of telling her what they are made up of, their story. You know, they were telling the fairy. And I got interested into that. I got introduced to the concept of black hole, and I started making up my own theories, my own stories. And being in Pune, I was lucky enough to be able to attend a lot of lectures, a lot of stargazing programs which keep happening around here. So I got to go to one of the lectures by Dr. Jayanta Narayakar, and he was talking about the concepts of black hole and how the star life is. And I asked him a very silly question, and he still answered that question. And that time I decided that I want to be the person who is able to answer such questions with this much passion. You know, he's such a great scientist and he's popularizing astronomy, and the twinkle in his eye when he talks about astronomy, it's something that, you know, kind of pushed me towards making him my idol. And today I can call him my mentor. He's visited my office as well. So, you know, that's a big deal for me. Stargazing, kind of, I would say, is like meditation for me. You know, it is peaceful from within, but it is also very exciting because I think astronomy is like a massive puzzle. The more you solve it, the more interesting it gets. The more questions that you answer, the more questions come along your way. And that is, I mean, imagine I can just like zoom out and see the Earth very tiny, how Neil Armstrong saw it from the moon. And you can just hide it behind your thumb if you put it up like this. And just imagining how small we are in this massive universe makes me realize that we should be working together as humankind, as a species. We don't know any other planet where life exists. There might be life in the universe because it's so massive. There are billions of stars and galaxies. There are billions of galaxies out there, each star having their own planetary system. I could go on and on and on about why astronomy is so interesting, because people ask me that, you know, why astronomy? How does it help us in day-to-day life? The satellites are like, without satellites, we cannot do our daily tasks. We have our phone, we have our internet because there is study of astronomy. We are using astronomy in our day-to-day lives without even knowing it. But I'll be honest with you, maybe you won't get quick returns of studying astronomy, but for an astronomer, I think this is rule of thumb that they should have a long-term vision to study astronomy. They have to think big. That is the rule of thumb for astronomers. So it kind of, you know, changes your perspective, because while understanding astronomy and understanding how small we are, how massive the universe is, you kind of forget about the money, you forget about the boundaries, you forget about the politics, and you start thinking as a human being. And that kind of gives you an extremely different perspective towards your life. And that has really helped me into being an entrepreneur, a businesswoman as well.
That's, I think, really, really interesting to hear, and a very fortuitous segue into my next question, which was a little bit more on the business side. So given that Astroneero was incubated at IIMB, I'm curious as to how did that experience kind of change you, change the idea, change the business model that you had kind of come up with? What was that experience like?
Okay, so I was just in Bangalore and I was studying, I was doing a small astronomy course there, and I was very fascinated by the IIMB campus. Okay, I did not even know what entrepreneurship actually is, and I just used to go there for different programs organized by IIM Bangalore. And in one of the programs for women in leadership, they kind of announced for the Women Startup program, and I thought it was interesting that I should apply, let's see where it goes, and maybe, you know, it'll kind of shape my idea about Astroneero, you know, about making this one-stop shop for astronomy. And I applied, and just going through that process, there were 7,000 women across India who applied for that, and they selected only 100 out of those. And that process was very exhausting, very challenging, and meeting other women, brainstorming with them was really amazing. So that's when I kind of, you know, realized that I was being an entrepreneur. So I would say that IIM Bangalore, IIM Nagpur, I was incubated in IIM Nagpur by InFed. IIM Bangalore was supporting the Women Startup Program. I was not incubated in IIM Bangalore itself. But they kind of gave me wings, and they made me realize that I didn't have to have any degree. I didn't have to have any background, any qualification to become an entrepreneur. I just needed to have this passion, the VIP thing. You know, I just needed to have that, and I could just take a step ahead, and they were there to catch me whenever I fall. This mentorship by IIM Nagpur and IIM Bangalore has actually made me who I am. And it's I think so far it's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. And just, I mean, you have an idea, okay? You're in love with your idea. You want to make it your venture, but there are so many doubts that you're going through. You don't know how the audience will take it. You don't know how to reach out to people, how to validate your product. And that is what IIM actually guided us through very well, right from how to you know, register your company, how to do marketing, how to do market research, and every step that, you know, I fumbled, they were there to help me. It's been 2 years since that program ended, but even today I get calls from IIM Nagpur, and Shivaji sir calls me and he asks me how it is going, and they boost me through the lockdown, they have done this. I have sustained through the lockdown because of them. There were many, you know, breakdowns that I faced during the lockdown. The team was not working. There were lots of issues going on. Lots of businesses faced lots of issues. But because of IIM Nagpur, I sustained through that. And, you know, I dared to dream big because of them, I would say.
I think that's such a positive kind of thing to hear for so many people who are hesitant about incubators, who are worried that it might, you know, dilute their ideas, because I do think that there is a misconception about what happens when you get involved with an incubator, right? And as well as in the context of getting involved with a school like IIM, with a B school like IIM, where again, there are so many kind of preconceived notions that we have on what that experience might be like. I think having spoken to you and heard your experience, I'm sure that for a lot of people, it will be cleared up now and they'll be able to approach it kind of with a more well-balanced view. So thank you for sharing that experience.
I'd just like to add one more thing to this. Mm-hmm. Another best thing that happened to me because of this incubation was IIM took us to Israel, which is Startup Nation. We got to go to Tel Aviv University and explore entrepreneurship there with the professors who teach entrepreneurship in that university. We also got to collaborate with lots of startups or lots of institutes in Israel who work in the field. I myself got invited by the Israeli Astronomical Association to give a lecture and do stargazing program with them. I also visited this facility in South Israel where the surface is kind of like Mars and they have developed, you know, kind of a mock Mars mission there. And I was invited there. And because of that, I could also collaborate with Dr. Remuta Abramovich, who is a very famous astrobiologist. And she did a course with Astronera. And that all happened because of this little exposure visit that IIM Bangalore took us to.
Wow. I mean, I don't think any of us were expecting to hear about that. So thank you so much. That sounds incredible. I had another question similar to when we talk about all of your accolades and all of the things you've kind of achieved in such a short time span, relatively, right? I'm curious as to how it feels to be the youngest woman from India to become a fellow of the Royal Astronomical Society.
It still gives me goosebumps to, you know, hear somebody say this about me. Because just few years ago, I think in 2016, I was invited to UK for an astronomical youth camp there. One senior student from my university suggested me that I should visit the Royal Astronomical Society. I went across, I saw their huge library, their huge campus, and I met people there. And I was already doing some stargazing programs back then. So when I met some people in the Royal Astronomical Society, I kind of started telling them about what I do, how I work for the stargazing and for science popularization, astronomy popularization. And one of the lady casually suggested me that why don't I apply for the membership? And I was like, you know, I am just absolutely not worth it. I'm just a student. And also I'm from India, so I don't know how many advantages I'll get out of it and stuff like that. I came back home and that year I was really working a lot towards Astronera. And this again, 2 years passed. So I went to UK in 2016. And in 2018, when I was part of the Women Startup Program, my assignments to my university started getting a little delayed. So my tutor kind of got worried about me not submitting my assignments on time. And so she asked me what was going on. I told her about the Women Startup Program and the events that I was doing, my vision about Astronera. And she sent my application to the Royal Astronomical Society directly. She was like, just fill out this form and I'm sending your application to the Royal Astronomical Society. Your work is really good. And she recommended my name to them. And the letter came around my birthday in November that I was finally their fellow. So it was really like a dream come true. Just last year, Royal Astronomical Society has completed its 200 years of existence. So, you know, it's really a massive deal. It's a dream that I saw as a child to become a fellow. And it's really good.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations on achieving this. This sounds incredible. I think we really dove deep into your entrepreneurial journey so far. So one of the things we like to do on this podcast is have a little fun with a few lighter questions. So how about we jump into those quickly?
Sure. Okay, I'm excited.
Okay, so the first one we have is, what do you consider a favorite failure?
My favorite failure? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this was very, very early in my journey. I think I was just 17 years old, and we were organizing this yearly camp named Astrotainment. So I organized this camp and I sent out lots of emails for people to know about it so that they can enroll. And one person who was kind of involved in astronomy and is a big name in astronomy field here, at least in Pune, he kind of, you know, tried to pull my leg. So he spread the word that my work was not legit and I was taking lots of money, though the visit did not cost much. And I was having some online sessions from people in UK, and he thought that they were actually going to come on campus. So, you know, he sent out an email putting me down and making my name bad in the field of astronomy. And I think that kind of gave me a massive push to think that this male-dominated field here, and I have something to conquer, I have something to prove to them. Because I was just 16, 17-year-old woman, everybody used to be like, you know, she's so young, she's a woman, what is she going to do? And now after so many years, I think that is what that pushed me so much. It kind of challenged me. And now I have reached to the stage where, you know, I say that it is the women who kind of victimize themselves, and they, if they push themselves forward, they have the world under their feet. So I think that was the biggest failure. I don't know if I can call this a failure, but you know, since that event kind of went to vain because of this unpopular thing that happened, I think it kind of pushed me more to achieve more.
I love that. That's such an interesting perspective to have. All right. The next question we have is, what is one thing that's left on your professional bucket list?
My professional bucket list. There are many, many things that I want to do. I think I'd quote two of them. So one is to visit all the dark sky reserves and observatories, astronomical observatories around the globe, and collaborating with them in some way or the other. And another thing that I'd want to do, which would be in my bucket list, is to own a caravan with, you know, my telescopes and astronomical stuff and take it across India and maybe across the world, popularizing astronomy.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay. I'm very excited for it to come true. Okay. And finally, as a recurring segment of our podcast, we'd like to ask you, what is your definition of success?
I think it's just to be fulfilled with whatever you're doing. So for me, I mean, the smallest thing makes me feel successful. Whenever somebody looks through my telescope and goes, wow, that is success for me. When I was studying in the Women Startup Program, it kind of became like entrepreneurship was all about making money. But that kind of made me feel a little depressed as well. It kind of took me away from my passion. It kind of made me more, you know, of a businesswoman than an astronomer. But I think to be successful is to know how you can put in your personality, how you can grow yourself and keep your business as its business, keep your startup as its startup, and don't kind of mix yourself. That is, I think, one of the biggest drawbacks of myself that I experienced, because me and Astronera was nothing different. So, you know, your business is going to grow if you grow yourself. If you don't keep yourself different than your business, then you're not going to be successful at all. That is what my learning is through this.
That's such a key takeaway, I think, for all of our listeners who have any dreams that they want to turn into a startup. So thank you for sharing that. I think that's really, really a great takeaway to have. And with that, thank you so much, Shweta, for speaking with us today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much, Uttara. I am really glad that you decided to invite me on this podcast, and I hope our listeners have enjoyed this. And I encourage them to go on our website, astronera.org, check out the courses. We have answers of all your astronomical questions, such as where do we stand in the universe, how to do astronomy without telescope, and you can reach out to me whenever you want if you have any question about astronomy. I'll be more than happy to help.
Thank you so much. And thank you guys for staying with us as we got to learn more about Shweta Kulkarni's fascinating mission to bring astronomy to everyone, everywhere, for the betterment of not just us, not just our kids, but for humankind.